Okay, here we go. Hey everyone, it's Jenny Heckman with Jenny's Tattletales, and today we have the very talented author Tanya Ross, and she is a YA dystopian romance author, and her series name is the Tranquility series, and her book that we're spotlighting today is Rising Up. Hello, Tanya, how are you?
Hello, Jenny. It's so good to be here. I'm doing well.
I'm glad that you're here. And you're in San Diego, and we were just saying it's nice and sunny there.
At least we're on the same coast because we're up in Washington.
Yeah, we've been in Canada today, and we've been to Connecticut. So we've been kind of, it's nice to be back on the Pacific Northwest side, you know?
Well, the Pacific side, not
Northwest. Pacific side, yes, yes. So you are doing a character interview today. So when you go to the website, you're going to see Tanya's character interview. And I think it was on Xander. Is that right? Yes. Xander Noble?
Xander, yes.
Why did you choose Xander?
He is my favorite character. He's just such a card. He's so disrespectful, sarcastic, you know, very dark character. So he's just, he's the one that has my heart.
That's really fun. And being a man, was it hard to write him, or did you have any challenges when you wrote him?
No, I didn't have any challenges. I'm a former educator. And so Xander, I kind of collected his personality from all of the very rebellious, disrespectful kids I've had in my classroom in the past. So he was pretty easy to write, to be honest.
I love that. I know those kids always had a special place in my heart too, because they just are misunderstood.
Absolutely. And Xander is definitely misunderstood.
So. I love it. Do you have a writing kryptonite?
Oh gosh, a writing kryptonite. Yeah, I mean, I think it would be starting a new chapter or starting a new novel. I just have this terror sometimes that comes over me. Like, I want to make sure that what I'm doing is good. And so that is a threat to me. I mean, it just comes in and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it's a blank page, the beginning of a new scene or the beginning of a new book. And you know, especially right now, I'm sitting down to start book number 3 in the series, and it's just overwhelming. I mean, I'm just procrastinating like crazy. So so that would be it for sure.
I am on book number 3 of my series as well, and it's a murder mystery, and mine is typically fantasy romance, so it's a little bit of an extra challenge. And I'm right there with you, sister. It's been pulling teeth every single time, just sitting down. But once I sit down, I don't have too much of a problem. It's just getting there, all the things that get in the way. So I totally can understand that. how do you get past that?
I usually just do some brainstorming. My family is super supportive. And so I carry my little notebook out to my, you know, to my husband, or, you know, call my daughter up and say, okay, so this is where I am, you know, throw me some thoughts, some ideas. And so that just helps me to get my imagination going, because they're amazing, you know, what they are able to come up with. And it's very helpful.
Wow, that's a great, I'm going to try that one. I can see Paisley getting into that. that would be really, really good. That's a good way to do it, to break it up a little bit anyway.
Yeah.
We have been in lockdown, you know, as a world, and we are now coming out of lockdown. And for COVID, while you were being sequestered in your home and things, did you find that it was easier, harder? What lessons did you learn from this COVID lockdown in terms of your writing life?
My writing life greatly improved, because I was really thankful that I had that, you know, in my life at that time, because not being able to go anywhere, yeah, you can read books, you can watch TV, but having that project to just throw myself into, especially in terms of the Great Escape, mm-hmm. it was, you know, amazing that I could go to a different place and not be here.
Yeah.
And the place that I went to was not always a friendly place either, but it was something that, you know, I could just immerse myself in and not worry about what was really going on, you know, in the real world.
Yeah.
And so my second novel was the one that I wrote during the pandemic. I had started it beforehand, but, you know, I was really, really invested in it in that time period. So a 15-month experience. So it was just pretty much my pandemic project.
Oh, love it. And so Rising Up is your first novel. What is your second novel?
It's called Facing Off.
Facing Off. Okay. Rising Up and Facing Off. Woo! I sense a theme here. Do you have words that you live by or a kind of motto that you live by?
The motto that I like to profess is also one that I write when I sign a book, and that is be fearless.
Oh, I love that.
Be you and be happy.
Like that. That's good. It's positive and inspiring. That's really good. What do a lot of new authors do that they get wrong, and what are things that they do right?
Well, I can tell you from my experience that the first thing I got wrong was my cover, because when I started, I was thinking, okay, I don't really want to spend a lot of money on this because I don't think, you know, I'm just not really that secure in what I'm doing, and I don't know whether this is something that's going to continue. So I was like, you know, and I can't design anything. And I didn't know anybody. So I just went on and I went to a pre-made, you know, book cover site. Of course, there are several of them and there are thousands of book covers. And I am not going to stand here and say pre-mades are bad, but the one I chose was not good.
Oh.
And yeah, and it just, you know, I chose it because it was the closest thing I could find to what I thought I wanted. And then when it didn't show up well, you know, on Amazon, and people were like, yeah, they liked the cover when they saw it in person, but not so much when they looked at it online. It just wasn't generating sales. And so I had to decide, okay, am I really serious about this? Am I going to want to really invest something and get something great out of it? And then I decided, yeah, I really better be serious about my book cover. And so that's when I luckily stumbled into a webcast that Reedsy was doing all about book covers.
Oh.
And the person that was like talking was Natasha McKenzie, and she was critiquing these different book covers. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to hire this woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my like mistake. And, you know, I've been so happy ever since that she designed my book cover, and because it's so amazing.
It is. And you can see it there right behind you. It's really interesting. I love when you have that double exposure kind of thing happening there. And it is intriguing. It's eye catching, and you go to it and I could see that people's eye would be drawn to it, you know, much better. Was your other one dark? Was it just more dark color?
Very, very dark. Yeah. And so it just didn't pop at all. And you know, I chose it because the character on the front resembled one of the characters that is in my story, even down to his clothes. And so I thought, oh, that works, but yeah, it didn't work.
Well, that's great advice though. It's always, I think as new authors, or even as authors that have been in it for a little while, trying to find some new life or new breath. It's always great to, you know, have discussions about what's right and what's, and not right or wrong, but just what worked and what maybe didn't work and those kinds of things. So that's great. Do you do a newsletter?
I just started one just about 2 months ago.
Okay, so let's talk about that. How would someone benefit from signing up for your newsletter?
Well, they're going to get things like, you know, what's going on in the mind of the character. For instance, what you're putting up on your website about this character interview. I will be doing several of those, not just Xander, but some of the other people. So you get a lot more than just what you can put in the book.
Yeah.
There's that. You also get news about the things that are coming out. You know, I just launched my book trailer for book number 2 and announced my release date. And so those are all things that people will get if they can, you know, subscribe to the newsletter. They get some of that backstory that you wouldn't necessarily get otherwise.
Yeah, a little bit of the behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Yes, I love it. Behind the scenes of Tanya Ross. I love that. Let's see, if a reader could do one thing to help their favorite author, what would that be?
definitely write a review. That would be the number one thing for sure. And then secondly, tell other people about the book.
Yeah.
Because word of mouth is so impressive. And, you know, when you can hear it from somebody that you know, that they read a book and they loved a book, that just goes a tremendous length in getting people interested in the book. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. That's very true. Have you written any other books that are not published?
No, I haven't.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It's you, girl, just getting out there and getting your stuff done. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, being an educator for over 30 years, you know, teachers don't really have a life much outside of their job, you know, and I know that, you know, some people don't really understand the demands on the people that are in that profession, but I would never have had time to write and raise a family and teach and do all of that. So teaching and raising a family was all that I could do. So when I retired, this was my thing. It's like, okay, now finally I get to sit down and I get to do what I wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have a sister that is a teacher, so I raise props to you because that is one hard job. I think the only harder job is maybe being a mother, but it's a hard, hard job. And, so my hat off to you. What grade did you teach?
Middle school.
Oh, wow. There's a special place in heaven for you. Wow. Yeah, that's a hard, hard age. Wow. Is there a message in your novels that this novel in particular that you would like people to grasp?
I think one of the themes is to be careful with technology. Because as much as we are invested in technology and it's a wonderful thing, technology can be manipulated so easily to work against you, also can work for you. But I think in the wrong hands, that technology can be a very horrible, horrible thing. And in this book, that's what happens is people are manipulated so greatly because they have to wear a device on their wrist that measures their emotions all the time, and they get privileges from that, but they also suffer the consequences if their emotional highs are not good enough. And I just think it sends a great message to especially our youth that we a lot of times are so dependent on our social media, especially for what we get back emotionally. And I think it can be a dangerous territory. So so that would be the underlying theme here.
I'm trying to remember, there was a show that I watched on YouTube just a few weeks ago, and it was something about social media, and it was absolutely terrifying. It was about the people that actually created the algorithm or whatever the structure of the social, like maybe it was Twitter or something. I can't remember what the different ones were, but they were the people behind the like button or the whatever button. And they showed how the psyche of people, especially middle school age, the psyche of these children about not getting their likes and stuff. It was phenomenal. It was a really great show. But very, very true. So I should probably ask this at the very beginning. Give us a summary of Rising Up. What's the book about?
Okay, so the main character is Ember. She's 16 years old, and she creates a life for herself that's quite secluded because she has an empathic ability. I mean, and it's so strong that when she's out in the world, she's out in the city of Tranquility, she absorbs the emotions of the other people around her. Now, that wouldn't be so bad, I guess, except that in this city, the people do have to wear a wrist device, and it measures their emotions, and their points that they accumulate will give them the things that they need to survive. So their standard of living depends on their alt points each and every day of their lives, and they want to be able to rise up in society by accumulating these points. So
there's
various levels in society that they can aspire to. Well, Ember, of course, that's very complicating for her because, you know, she's got her own emotions and that of everybody else. And then to further complicate her life, her mom gets sick and she dies.
Ooh.
And Ember is not allowed to grieve in this city because that's a negative emotion.
Oh.
And so it is very difficult for her. And then she cannot figure out why this has happened because nobody gets sick in this city. It's 100 years from now.
Oh, there's okay.
Sickness. Yeah, everybody's healthy. Everybody's good. So when she starts asking questions about what happened to her mother, no one answers her questions.
Oh, okay. This sounds like there's something mysterious that happens to them. Yeah, okay. Okay. Very cool. And then it goes, it continues. Is it the same? Obviously, it's a series. So is it same characters or is it different characters in the same city for Facing Off?
Okay. Facing Off, we pick up a few new characters as we go along because there are people that join them in order to help Ember and to help them figure out more of what they're going to do about this situation that Ember discovers in book number one. So the characters are very fun and very different, and you get to go behind the scenes in the government and all of that in book number two. So
oh, lovely. Okay. All right. Good deal. Good job. Well done, you. I love it. Okay. So I guess my last question then is, what would you most like to say to the readers or the viewers out there?
I just want to really encourage you to, first of all, pick up Rising Up because I think you'll love it. But also that I have book number two now ready to go. And I've also got a trailer for book number two that's already out. I've got it up on social media. So I hope you give it a look. Visit my website, see what you think. I just love this series, and I know that people will love it too.
Perfect. Okay. Well, you're going to be able to read more about Tanya's character Xander in her character interview that's on the website Jenny's Telltales today. And excuse me, all of these links we can find in the description below. You can also find on our website. And so all of these great things, you've got so much coming up. I'm so proud of you. And thank you very, very much, Tanya, for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. It really was fun.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. And stay nice and warm. I'm going to be jealous of you sitting there in your nice, warm San Diego and my very windy Seattle.
We'll come at some point, right?
Yeah. Have a great, great day.
All right. You too. Thank you again.
Bye. Nice to meet you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Nice to meet you too.
Okay. I think that's going to wrap it up for Jenny's Tattletales today. I hope you have an absolutely splendid day, and I want to really thank you for joining me, and I hope to hear from you and see you next time.